welcome to episode 7 of The Errant Heel. It is the most vociferous podcast on thegoodmanproject.com. This is one of your hosts, Brian, and this is your other host, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Hi, everybody. You may have noticed that Brian did the intro today. That is because Brian and I are, for the first time, separated by many miles.
Many miles.
I'm not happy about it because I don't have a microphone to stare at or Brian's eyes to stare at while we do this on the phone.
Yeah, you're forced to stare at your iPhone, so that's no fun.
Staring at my iPhone right now, and I don't feel good about it, but we're going to try to do it anyway.
So, Tom, you're on the East Coast now. What's going on? How's your sports week been? Your sports 2 weeks.
It's good. It's good, man. I'm living out here in Hollywood, New York.
You know, Hollywood?
Been pretty great. My sports week is real nice. There's some good stuff to talk about, some good news and bad news. One disappointing thing is our guy Jamie Moyer was released this week, Old Man Moyer. Did you see that, Brian?
I did see that. Are you sad about it?
Yeah, I'm really sad. I was sadder than I thought it would be because, I don't know, he turned out to be, like, one of the Rockies' most consistent pitchers. And
yeah,
it was just fun to look at some dude who looked like he was, you know, from Office Depot, like, pitching a real major league game.
Do you think he'll end up pitching somewhere else, or do you think he's done for?
I think he's done for. I think he got his record, and then he's going to be gone. And he really didn't have anything going. Like, I'd watch his games, and he was essentially just flinging the ball at the plate and being like, well, whatever, I don't know what's going to happen.
Will my age distract you from hitting this baseball? We'll see.
Yeah, he was like, I'm just going to throw it up there, maybe it'll hit a ground out, that might work. And that was about all he was doing. So, I was sad about that. I've been watching a lot of NBA playoffs, always exciting. I think it's really starting to pick up finally. Yeah, we had two good series going. The Thunder finally tied up their series last night and looked to not be laying down like punks against the Spurs, which is good. I'm feeling good about all of that. And I'm excited to watch tonight's game, which is the Heat Celtics night, Brian?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, I'm going to be all over that.
As of right now, what are your picks for who's going to win these series and who's going to win the championship?
That's tough. I think the Heat are going to win the Eastern Series.
Okay.
And I don't know who's going to win the West, but I know the Heat are going to lose miserably to whoever wins the West.
Okay. Heat are going to win in how many games in the East?
The Heat, I think their series is like 2-1 right now.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's correct.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, see, I know. What are you trying to quiz me? Trying to make me feel dumb on the podcast?
I don't know what you're doing over there, man. You're so far away. I have to just make sure you're not like a pod person.
Sure, I think I'm not fucking paying attention anymore these days. Come on, man.
I don't know.
Messed up.
People go to Hoboken, they don't come back, man. People get lost in Hoboken.
That's true. By the way, Hoboken's not that bad. Like, I kind of like it.
You like it?
There's like real big sandwiches here. There's just sandwiches everywhere on the East Coast. Like, you know, in Colorado, we like want a sandwich, go to Subway. But I just walk out the door here, and there's like 7 sandwiches just ready to be eaten, and they're delicious.
I don't know, man. That seems like an oversaturation of the sandwich market. I don't know if I need that much sandwich choice.
They're so good, though, and they're all made by like little sweaty Italian men who are like wiping sweat from their brow, which just makes them that much better.
All right. I mean, I didn't know there was Italian sweat in them. That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, you should come out here and get your sandwich game stepped up with me.
Yeah, I'll do that. We'll go to a Mets game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but speaking of, that's the no-hitter. Did you see Yoan Santana's no-hitter?
I didn't see it. I followed it on the internet because I don't have, like, MLB TV, but, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, hey, guys, we're back. A little bit of audio trouble. Apparently, I didn't have enough Skype dollars, so we had to have a momentary pause.
We thought Skype was free, but it's not, apparently, so that's tough.
Skype is really C-blocking your errant heel this week, so I'm sorry about that.
But, yes, you were talking about Yoan Santana, no-hitter. That was pretty cool, because it was, like, the first no-hitter in Mets history. Brian, did you know that?
I did know that. It's their 51st season, right? And that they have, like, the longest record without a no-hitter excluding, of course, the Padres, who actually still don't have a no-hitter, so.
Yeah, you know what was super fucked up, though, was, so, like, Carlos Beltran had that one hit in the game that was called foul, but the replay showed that it was probably fair and, like, would have been a double.
Yeah.
Apparently, in the, one of the St. Louis newspapers, like the St. Louis Post-Dispatch or whatever, when they wrote the game story about the no-hitter, they put an asterisk next to it, and then because they, like, said it doesn't count because that guy should have had a double, which is just, like, the sour grapes whole shit I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's super messed up. It's such, like, a dick move. Like, you're trying to, like, discredit, like, the Mets' first no-hitter in 50 years. And, I mean, what would have happened if he gotten hit? You guys maybe would have won the game? And, like, what?
Yeah. Like, let the guy fucking enjoy his no-hitter. Like, don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, the same list as Dispatch, so screw you guys. You guys are mean.
Yeah, they almost made my list for Bad Men of the Week, but they didn't for that, so.
Do you have two this time?
I do have both, all right? So back off me.
I'm glad that you're working harder now that I'm not there.
Your absence has inspired me. We'll start with my bad man this week. My bad man this week is going to be umpire Laz Diaz. He was calling the game a few days ago between the Yankees and the Angels. Apparently, Yankees catcher Russell Martin had exchanged some words with him over his strike calls, which, you know, probably not the best thing to do as the catcher, because you kind of have to hang out with the guy for the whole game.
Yeah,
I mean, you get heated, and you gotta speak your mind sometimes. So Martin, he wasn't happy about the calls he was making. Diaz apparently wasn't happy about being called out, and he responded in an odd way. And what he did, he actually refused to let Russell Martin throw the ball back to the pitcher when a new ball was put into play. Martin said, quote, "Laz actually hurt my feelings. He wouldn't let me throw the ball back to the pitcher, and that's never happened to me before. He told me I had to earn the privilege. Even at the end of the game, after I get hit in the neck, I'm like, can I throw the ball back now? And he's still like, no." So, I mean, that's a really weird thing for an adult man to do in a professional capacity, I think, so.
I think my favorite part of that is that you have to earn the privilege. It's just like, it doesn't even mean anything, and it's like, he just went into a jar of random things that asshole old high school baseball coaches say. I'm into that joint.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was super messed up, and I think there was actually some video of it. It was just really awkward to watch, because Russell Martin kept putting his hand up on the ball, and then the umpire just kept throwing a new one back to the pitcher, which was just super weird.
Yeah, I mean, so Laz, you're my bad man of the week. Like, I don't know, grow up or something.
Yeah, and I'm officially decided Laz Diaz probably sucks to hang out with.
Yeah, he's probably like the worst old man.
Anyone who says you have to earn the privilege in a way that's not ironic is just what you don't want to hang out with that person. He's the worst.
Agreed.
That was a good choice, Brian. Good one. Let's see. I want to do my good guy, because this was a lot of fun.
Okay.
And I don't even know if this is necessarily good, but it was hilarious, so I liked it. But this happened, I can't remember what night this happened, but it was just a few days ago, and J.R. Smith, the shooting guard, well, he's technically still with the Knicks, but I don't know if he's under contract or if he's going to be coming back. He was on Twitter, like NBA players like to do, you know, at the fans and stuff. And it was about 2 in the morning. He was in New York City. He just sent us a tweet and was like, "Hey, any fans out there want to go ride bikes with me around New York?" And turns out a lot of people did. So J.R. Smith got on his little bicycle. And him and a gaggle of fans just went riding around in New York just to see what was going on, because they thought it would be a fun time. And, his reason for doing it was, he said, "Going to take pics all over Manhattan and see what kind of stuff goes on in New York at night." And I believe it. And there's like pictures all over the internet of him in his bike gang, just like taking pictures in front of buildings and stuff. And I know, yeah, don't know if he like did it to connect with fans or just because he's a huge weirdo, but I thought that was a pretty cool way to hang out with people who follow him on Twitter, and because he's a cool guy and I'm willing to come meet him at 2 a.m.
Are you sad that you weren't like awake to respond to his Twitter beckon and couldn't go ride around with him?
Yeah, I'm really upset with myself, because if I had seen that, I would have been on a train in Hoboken immediately, and I don't have a bike.
You would have like stolen a bike from a child, hopped on the train, be like, JR, I'm coming.
Yeah, I would have just jogged around. The funny thing was, his bike is one of those really tiny, I don't know what you call them, but it's like a tiny-ass bike, though. I guess it's for stunts, maybe.
He was riding like a little BMX bike.
Yeah, he took a picture of himself in his apartment, standing on a bike, and it looks like he's doing the hang loose symbol. He's just like, hanging his bros, let's go ride bikes. And, I don't know, that was really cool, because I was having most of the players, especially at 2 a.m., would be afraid of, I don't know, getting stabbed by some crazy fan or something. But, he seemed to have a good time, and all the people out there were pretty young, they were kids, and they seemed to be having a good time, too. So, good
That's
job,
awesome.
JR. You had some fun with your fans.
Good job, JR. I mean, you're still a huge weirdo, but in, like, a good way now, so...
Yeah, you should still probably stop tweeting pictures of your naked jump-offs that you just had sex with and sending them on Twitter. Like, that's probably not a good idea, but this is a situation where you use Twitter well. But you should keep your jump-offs off of there from now on. You're okay.
No, I mean, don't take the wrong way, JR. We love to see your jump-offs, but I don't know. Use another medium.
Just, it's not good for you. We're doing this for you, JR.
All right, that's good. That's good. I mean, that's real good. I didn't hear about that, and it makes me feel good inside that he's...
Yeah, I like that story. It's a good story.
All right, we'll go now to my good men, I guess. This week at the NFL Players Association rookie premiere event in Los Angeles, some interviewers from Outsports.com, which is kind of a gay-centric sports website, talked to a couple of the upcoming rookie players about how they would feel about potentially having a gay teammate. And overall, their responses were incredibly positive, and that's not something that I expected to hear from them, so I think that's great. We have Rob Griffin III, Trent Richardson, a bunch of rookies this year, all seem to be super normal about having a gay teammate, and I think that's great, and I want to give them props.
Yeah, I thought I was surprised at that too. I guess most encouraged it was the younger players who were coming out, because I read the article where like a few older players who were like retired who said stuff about it, and it doesn't really matter. But the fact that these incoming rookies are feeling more open minded might, people's minds are evolving a little bit, and the younger people might know what's going on a little better than the people who are currently in the league. That was a good the one thing that I think there's a few players who sort of didn't really say that they like supported gay rights. Their reason was just, as long as you can play football, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean,
which again, it's better than saying I hate gay dudes, but wasn't it the strongest endorsement ever from a few of them? They're just like, as long as you can tell who you are, I don't care if you're gay or not. So I don't know, but it's progress, I guess.
Yeah, more like I don't want to hear about it attitude than like, oh, that's cool. I'm cool with what you do as a person, but baby steps,
yeah.
Tom.
It didn't sound like a don't ask, don't tell type thing, which is, I think, how it's normally been in the NFL. Well, I mean, I'm sure that's how it's been. It's, not the most gay-friendly league.
Right. What do you think would be the first professional sport that has, an openly gay, superstar athlete?
That's tough. I feel like I want to say either, I feel like it'll be the NBA, and I think it'll be from a team, because in the NBA, you've got, 12 people on your team, so you can have a real tight-knit team like that.
Uh-huh.
I think there'll be somebody on a team where all 12 are very close and trust each other, and this guy is going to feel comfortable, because I don't think whoever does it is going to be so bothered by what fans think or even what other players on other teams think. I think it's a, like a fear of your own teammates and thinking that you're, you know, there's something wrong with you and they don't want to be around you anymore.
Right.
So I think that's part of the NFL because there's like 50 other guys in the locker room they have to worry about. Same thing with baseball. Yeah, I mean, I could see a team, and, you know, if they're willing to come out publicly with him and, you know, support him, that I think that's probably the best way that it could happen. That's why I think it would be, do you agree with that? Does that sound right?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had the same thought. I mean, with, like, bigger team sports like football and baseball, it'd be kind of hard to feel accepted by everyone and know that they, like, were, like, super cool with you being whatever. So, yeah, I would agree with the NBA.
Yeah, because if I was a football player and it came out, it'd be fine if all of my friends on the team were fine with it, but I'd be worried about, you know...
Yeah, there's still, like, 35 other guys that you don't even, like, know that well.
So. Yeah, like, what if the third-string right guard is a huge homophobe and wants to, like, punch me in the face in the shower? Like, I wouldn't feel comfortable at all in that environment. So, yeah, I think it'll be an NBA player, and they could have known what's going to happen, but hopefully sooner rather than later.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay, so that was a good story on a good note. I like that. Let's see, I will go to... I did my good man right there. I did my bad guy. So my bad guy is actually the White Sox baseball play-by-play announcer named Hawk Harrelson. I don't know if you've heard him, Brian.
Sounds like a fake name, but go on.
He's the guy who does the He-Gong home run call, which is the most annoying home run call of all time. And he was calling the game the other day. And there was some bad blood going on between the teams. Some guys were getting hit and thrown at, and, you know, it goes a little back and forth. I think it carried over from the day before.
Mm-hmm.
So, whoever was pitching for the White Sox, I remember, threw the ball behind the batter and was clearly trying to hit him. And this was after someone else had already been hit in the game, and the teams had been warned. So, the pitcher was ejected, because that's what happens. If you get a warning and then you throw at somebody, you get ejected.
Exactly.
And, Hawk Harrelson, who is, like, the biggest homer of all time and never hides it when he's calling games, just, like, flipped the fuck out and started screaming at this umpire. And it's really funny to listen to. Like, if you're interested, you should definitely look up the audio, because his first line is, "He got thrown out of the game? You gotta be beeping me." He, like, just censored himself. And then, just went on and on, and you could just imagine his, like, forehead and neck veins starting to pop out.
Pulsing.
It just sounded like such an impotent, like, crazy old man screaming about people on his lawn, and it was the stupidest thing ever. And he went on for an entire inning, like, he wouldn't shut up about it. And, you know, and his argument was the umpire doesn't understand how the game works. Like, you've got to defend your guys when they get hit. And my argument is, no, Hawk Harrelson, it's really dangerous to throw baseball to people, so you shouldn't do that on a regular basis, and you should stop being an asshole and think that that's a cool thing to do. So, there's my bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, baseball is, I mean, I feel like that would kind of hurt a little bit when you get hit with, like, a chunk
of... Yeah, that's one thing that annoys me most about baseball, is that they think that it's a really cool thing to throw really small and hard objects at people at incredible speeds, and that it's just, like, quote-unquote, part of the game.
So you don't think that should be part of the game?
Yeah, it's not. Like, it's there's sort of an agreement when you're playing baseball that the guy's not going to throw the ball at your face, and he does. That's really dangerous, and you shouldn't do that. And I don't know, I just hate people who are, like, all about old-school baseball and thinking that we should be doing that on a regular basis.
I mean, I would agree. I think it's kind of a... It's a really dangerous practice, and in my opinion, a little bit childish, to be like, you hit our guy, we'll do that to you, too. Guess what? We can throw baseballs also. I don't know. It just seems...
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily dangerous. I mean, I don't know if anyone's ever been seriously injured after being thrown out on purpose, but people get injured all the time being thrown out by mistake.
Yeah.
They do get on the wrist and the hand or ankle or whatever and break their fucking bones, and I mean, I don't know if I can point to one specific example where some guy threw at somebody on purpose and then hurt him, but I don't think you need a specific example because it's, like, very dangerous. I mean, I hear skydiving 100 times and be safe every time, but it's still a dangerous thing to do. Like, yeah. I won't argue that. I don't know, it's just stupid, and people should stop doing it. And people like Hawk Harrelson who continue to think that it's, like, cool and part of the game is part of the reason why it keeps happening.
Well, I mean, you know, Tom, they're all super old, so, I mean, eventually they'll die off, and then...
Yeah, so, all your guys will just die from being angry and old soon, and then...
I mean, next time that happens, let's have an aneurysm, and then that problem will solve itself, so...
Yeah, that's definitely going to happen. Okay, Brian, so my bad guy, you got anything else you wanna hit us with?
I had a question for you, in your For your baseball, you're a lot more knowledgeable about baseball than I am. You've been following the sport for a longer time than I have. We've had a lot of incidents recently where umpires make bad calls, players unhappy about it, like the media react. What do you think is the best way to hold the umpires accountable? How do you think the rules need to be changed, if at all, to hold them accountable?
Oh, you're talking about, like, umpires been blowing off the calls and coaches and fans and getting really upset about it?
Yeah, that kind of stuff, and also, like I talked about with Laz Diaz, just, like, being huge dicks during the game.
Yeah. I think that in situations like Diaz, like, he should definitely be fined. And there's another umpire who actually got suspended because it was pretty clear that he was, like, escalating situations and, like, getting people to get themselves ejected.
Yeah.
So I think in situations like that, it should be, like, fines and suspensions. But as far as blowing calls goes, I don't think it's fair to fine umpires for getting calls wrong during the game. Because, I mean, that's going to happen because their job, the way it currently exists, it allows for mistakes like that.
Okay.
That's just the way it works. But I do think that we need to do more replay. And I don't really know how to institute it. Everyone bitches and says it'll make the game take too long. But you know what else makes the game take a long time? When an umpire blows a call, and the coach comes out and spends 15 minutes screaming at him before he gets ejected. Like, that also delays the game quite a bit.
For sure.
And it doesn't take long to do replay. I mean, we could do it like tennis. You know, I don't know if you ever watched a tennis match, but it's computerized, and like, they'll hit a ball, it'll hit the line, and the umpire will call it out, and they'll be like, no, I think that was in. And literally, in 45 seconds, they pull it up, watch it, and like, okay, it was in, and then they move on. And with baseball, I feel like it would be pretty easy to do that with balls and strikes. I don't know if you would... I wouldn't want to do it with balls and strikes. Actually, that would really take too long. That would be like every pitch.
Yeah.
But on like foul balls, you know, home runs with over the fence or not, I feel like that's pretty easy stuff to institute. And it doesn't have to be a huge long process like football where the guy goes and sticks his head in the box and watches the replay 20 times. So I don't know. I mean... Umpires in general need to personally stop being dickheads, and maybe they would if they had less pressure on them and they had, you know, more replay to use and know that they could get the calls right when they needed to.
All right.
Yeah. Insight. That's my answer.
Insight from our baseball scholar, Tom.
Yeah, more replay. And you know what? Maybe we should just do all robots.
All robots, like Android umpires. I mean, fuck the human element, because that's so last century.
Yeah, I think eventually we'll probably be a robot, and they'll be very menacing looking, and then they'll eventually, take over the Earth. But that's okay. It'll make baseball a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we really care about here at the Earth, you know, is making baseball better.
Yeah,
so, if we have to submit to our robot overlords, I think that's
fine. Baseball game is called correctly, then I'm fine.
All right, Tom, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, that's it for me. How did you think that went, Brian? Our first episode away from each other's warm glances.
I mean, I don't get to look deeply into your eyes, so that kind of bums me out. We had a couple little technical problems. Skype tried to fuck us over, but we moved on. We moved past it. We solved problems.
I think we carried through pretty well, man. We did a good job.
I think it went well. We're separated, but right. Still together.
Still together in spirit.
Right. All right, this is...
All right, so let's get this thing done, and let's get it posted.
All right, we'll do it. All right, this has been episode 7, guys. Thank you for joining us. You can send us an email at theerrantheel@gmail.com. Any questions, anything you might want us to talk about, anything you want to bring to our attention, send it there. You can follow us on Twitter at theerrantheel. And you can visit us on our home on the internet, goodmenproject.com. There's a lot of good articles there. Go on there, check it out. Yeah, all right. Tom, it's been good to talk to you. And we'll talk to you next week, America.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
Picking out my fro with my fist comb. I got a tab at the stone, baby, this long. My little brother was having a little trouble. I hope that he doesn't care that it's in this song. Koreatown lunch and talking about how to run things. He said Atlanta wanted something. Waka G's in your future got the streets locked down. Copycats making sure Tip keep that crown. I'm fucking around with the truth. Went to see the roots. Quest brought me back on stage in a suit. I went hard because niggas say that I'm soft. Even Black thought I'm aiming a little hard. I gotta be honest. Feeling like the other stuff is kind of behind us. Making jokes here and there, then got us some dollars. Trying to show the whole world what it is, and it ain't a game. He said, homie, stay the course, ain't shit changed. Weird night and everybody was tipsy, hanging out with Questlove, reminiscing about Whitney. He like, man, we can't even make it to 50. That reminds me, I sent a long text message to my mom and pop. I got the same speech when I left 30 Rock. My mom like, why you wanna leave a good job? My dad like, do your thing, boy, don't stop. Shout out to my nigga Lou, shout out to my nigga Swank for hanging at the crib and telling me what you think. Speak from your heart and never compromise what you feel's real. And never let these white people tell you how to feel. Never let anybody tell you how to feel. I wanted what they had back in the fourth grade. Family vacays, you know I did it all. Just to see my little sis by a waterfall. My great granddad bought his own freedom. Walked barefoot to Virginia to start his own peanut farm. So don't be alarmed, man, I'm royalty. Jam of the week, V103. No cosign, no bovine. More swag, pull back on the punchlines. Starving, every track means lunchtime. I'm a star, how could I not shine? Fuck boys, chase hype and scrap chicks. And niggas who stop texting after 1.6. DG lover ain't nothing to fuck with. D-Money ain't nothing to fuck with. And what's a leader if he isn't reluctant? Too bad for y'all, I'm blasting off. I'm not Asher Roth, I don't sleep on my bread. Dick right, stay close, I might flash a ball. Sometimes all the shit make a nigga feel guilty. I used to sleep with them roaches. Back on my mind, oh, I hope show gets canceled. Maybe then I can focus. Hawaii touchdown, go ahead, baby, put your shades on. East side to the gravestone. Brown liquor, but my girl in Bed-Stuy. Nigga, you got drive like a sale at Best Buy. Hold up, we can do better. Put my voice on the trap, man, this shit is much wetter. At the studio at 8 a.m. Hit the booth and eat, nigga, we ain't them. Nigga, we ain't them. Drop a line at your Facebook status. If this shit about a week ago, you still mad at us. If there's something on your chest, nigga, let it out. 'Cause I'm the best, da-da-da.